It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown.
Respect, courage, honor, teamwork.
And that's what this podcast is all about. We live sure. by those four things. Respect, courage, honor, and teamwork. Because this is the B-Movie Breakdown. We don't fuck around on here. Just like Dave well, Dragon, just like the Three Ninjas, just like Barb Wire, a.k.a. Lonnie Anderson, and just like Luthor, Jim Varney. And Victor Wong, because this was also his last movie.
My Corey doesn't speak for everybody. My thing would probably be more like boobs, genital mutilation, prolapse, anuses, or that'd be anuses.
Anuses, probably.
Okay, sure.
But anus eyes.
Oh no, no anus eyes, no brown eye winking back at me.
Oh
no,
man,
you.
But anus eyes could become a new thing.
So none a Jamaican guy or. Okay, let's just pretend that didn't happen.
Just put your sunglasses on, it'll be okay.
You're right. This is a covert op, you know. There, sunglasses on. Nobody knows who I am.
Exactly. Nobody knew that you made that mistake.
So a nun, a Jamaican, and a fat guy walk into an amusement park.
Yeah, this week's movie was absolutely ridiculous. Before we get there... into this week's movie, which is just, I never seen it before, and I've seen all the other ones, but there's a reason why I never saw this one. This is episode 45 of the B-Movie Breakdown.
All right, just fucking up all over
yeah,
the place.
Yeah, we're skipping ahead to the future.
We got the Three Ninjas curse upon us now.
I mean, that fucking happens when you watch Three Ninjas, High Noon, and Mega Mountain. What do you expect?
So meet us this weekend at Six Flags, where we're going to... just ruin the shit out of everything we touch. We're going to lift the whole time, have terrible haircuts, ponytail.
Reminds me of also in Beverly Hills Cop 3, they're at basically like a Six Flags. And it's Wonder World.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But this is B-Movie Breakdown, a weekly podcast where we find the humor and enjoyment in low-budget, lesser-known films of the past and present, home of the good, the bad, and the what the fuck. Each week's movie will be revealed in a prior episode, so you too can join in on the madness. This week, yeah, it's a little harder to find the movie, but hey, that shit happens. This movie was a suggestion on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, you can find us at BMB Podcast. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/BMB Podcast. Email us, bmbpodcast@gmail.com. You can listen to us on iTunes, our website, or on Stitcher. Check that motherfucking shit out. Quick few little, shout outs and promos here. Check out Timmy Blaze on the T-Dog Bulls and Pops Combsy Stand Show. Good podcast, funny stuff. Good friend of mine. And he also has the ABACABB video game podcast. Check that out too. There's not as many episodes of that as there are the T-Dog Bulls and Pops, but they're both good stuff, especially if you like video games. Check out that one, y'all.
I don't know why we keep plugging this guy since he never wants to join us for podcasting anymore, but you could check out Podcaster Pat at www.janitorspenis.com this week with a new video of one-legged wrestler Zach Gowen doing one of our female acquaintances.
This week's
it actually happened. We just don't have video of it. I can't believe that happened, but it did.
Yeah, I don't know, Pat, whatever he's up to. He's
and giving there's
up
also
life.
There's also my new venture, www.hatemygreatbigcock.com.
Don't forget about hatemygreatbigcock.com. Don't forget about blacksonblondes.com, former supporter of the Potty Mouths podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But this week's movie was suggested to us on Twitter by @MycroftH. Asked us any chance you guys can review one of the Three Ninja movies. I hate these little shits. And he said, I said, sure, we'd love to do one. And he suggested this one. He said, looking forward to it. Hogan is ridiculous, and I have yet to see a movie with an uglier, more irritating bunch of kids.
He got that right, for sure.
He couldn't be more right.
Oh my
or actually
God.
More wrong, because I love these kids. I just want to... I mean, what?
Oh!
Never mind.
Well...
I'll put my sunglasses on. That never happened.
Considering that these are all new kids that weren't in any of the other movies, and considering that both the... the Colt and the Tum Tum they got here are effeminate as fuck. Oh my god. You got two boys that look like girls, and then a girl who wants to join the team who
and
wants
she
to
looks
be
like
a boy.
Yeah.
Oh my god, this movie's just
this movie definitely had that 90s thing going for of the nerdy tomboy girl.
If this movie were made now, the chick would she'd still only be like, you know, 12 or 14 or whatever she's supposed to be, except she'd have like nasty granny hipster glasses, tattoos, and a Skrillex haircut.
Skrillex haircut. I don't know. Do girls have Skrillex haircuts?
They do. It is pretty awful.
Oh, that's
that's one of those things that just makes you want to kill yourself.
We were up here. You just brought the mood.
Oh, I know, right, but go up to Chicago. You'll see it.
One thing, I had a couple things in this movie that bothered me. I mean, like, the whole movie bothered me.
Just a couple things.
But one was this line that was said to Hulk Hogan, who is in this movie, playing Dave Dragon.
Dave Dragon in the Star Force 5, the terrible Power Rangers ripoff, where all his other teammates wear Power Ranger ripoff costumes, but Hogan's got to go shirtless with, like, a He-Man strap thing.
They're the worst Power Ranger ripoffs, too. They're just, like, colored leotards with colored sparring gear.
Yeah.
That's really all it was.
Red, blue, green, black, and white for anybody that cares.
It was pretty bad. But there was this line said to Hulk Hogan when he was kind of down and he was defeated at one point.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
man.
And this kid says...
they're surrounded by goons with machine guns, herding them underneath a roller coaster to hold them hostage, by the way.
And this kid says... I've always thought you were a hero. Are you just a phony like my dad?
Oh, he said like my dad said, but I also took it down that way. Or are you just a phony like my dad?
See, I was like, I can't believe this was in this movie. I didn't hear the part where he said. I was too busy laughing already.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, a phony
Me too.
Just like my dad? Like, what? Are you serious?
And
this kid just called his dad a phony.
Then I got this set. I was like, oh, but it's funnier if we leave that out.
It is. It's.
I wrote it down in parentheses.
It's way funnier that way. Way funnier. And my other thing about this movie that... It makes this movie so unbelievable. This movie's already unbelievable in the aspect of that it's so hard to believe that these little kids could beat up grown men.
Oh yeah, especially as fucking Tum Tum supposedly kicking a guy over twice his size in the head. Just these high kicks with this horrible high-pitched squeaky toy. The whole time, and I just wanted to grab him by his big mop of stupid curly kid hair and drown him in the nearest sink.
Yeah, he was. I don't know about him necessarily, just him, but the amount of hi-yas.
Oh yeah,
by from any but character was
he was the worst though.
He was the worst, but they all three of them did hi-ya, hi-ya, and the thing is, you get so much hi-ya because the. You get so much hi-ya. No one gets hi-ya than the Three Ninjas.
Except maybe Timmy Blaze, on account of all the weed.
Oh no, the chocolate milk that he's drinking.
Oh, okay, that's chocolate what, milk. Is that what they're calling Molly now?
That's what they like to call it on the T-Dog Blizzbops Cumsy Stan Show.
Oh, okay.
Chocolate milk.
Like our friend Cody liked to call his code for masturbating as a teen or young teen was, go watch some Dragon Ball Z.
Yep, there you go, exactly. So, the amount of hi-yas are so out of control because the fight scenes in this movie, usually this is a good thing in a movie, but the fight scenes are like this. The fight scenes are like 10 minutes long.
In any other movie, that would probably be good.
Yeah, in any other movie, like, so a lot of complaints sometimes when people leave movies, like, oh, I wanted more fighting, you know, it was supposed to be this action movie, this karate, kung fu, whatever, and I wanted more fighting, and I didn't get it. This movie gives you so much fighting, but it's so bad. It's just, oh my god. The fight scene in the corral, the fight scene in when they first meet the bad guys, it's just like, there's so many of them, and they just keep going.
Or even their stupid training sequence at the beginning.
Yeah, it went on for so long.
And from what I read, some of it was literally rehashed from the first movies. Like, oh, we're showing how they progressed. Well, they haven't really progressed if they're still doing the same thing, and two of the kids want to quit now.
Yeah, exactly.
And Victor Wong goes, oh, maybe it's time to just put old grandpa on the shelf.
Might as well put old grandpa to sleep.
And then he died after this, so I guess it was.
Put him on the shelf. The, back to my biggest, like, gripe about this movie, and it goes along, we were talking about the corral scene, and this goes hand in hand with that. The people at this amusement park, the patrons of this amusement park, except for the Three ninjas, their friend, I don't know her name, Jessica, we'll say, I can't remember.
Well, the Amanda was the one who was actually helping them, and then Jennifer was Rocky's girlfriend who he ditches. And
they figure it out at one point eventually, but even they're pretty clueless for most of the movie. But nobody else except for them seem to realize that, one, the gates have all been shut and you can't leave the park, because that would worry people pretty quickly and cause a little bit of a panic. Two, there's armed men all of a sudden everywhere. Terrorists taking over an amusement park.
Well, they're armed when they take over, but then they just put on their covert ops glasses and stand around with their arms crossed.
Yeah, but the thing is, they employees are either being knocked out and or murdered.
I hope murdered. I really do. This movie
so
needed a body count.
People aren't realizing that the employees are, like, disappearing, and then even the employees that are left don't realize that their fellow co-workers aren't there, and there's these new strangers and walking around with guns and things. Like, and in the whole movie, there's, like, they're being chased, there's gunfire.
Like, people realize at the beginning when they first take over, and, like, they actually stop a woman who's trying to walk out the gate. Like, why would you do that when she's putting up a fight? You could just let people go until you get fully established and then do your thing. But right there, that should have been, oh, somebody's going to start, you know, pitching a bitch about this. And it would have spread around the park eventually.
Yeah, it would have. But
at the end of the movie, until they finally come in with the money, do people finally realize what's going on? Everybody's just chilling the whole time. Just, oh, man, we're having so much fun at Mega Mountain.
And they're still going on rides, playing the games.
People are still operating rides normally and not like we're under compulsion to do this so that we could hold people hostage on the rides if something goes wrong. Everybody's just like, whatever, I hate my job, fucking theme park. I guess I'll keep
and everybody's just so oblivious. Like, how? It's like, that makes it so unbelievable. It really makes the movie
really? This makes it unbelievable? Well, not the fact that ex-nun Lonnie Anderson, extortionist, armed robber, kidnapper,
I've seen nuns
forger,
as bad guys before in video
nuns
games.
Nuns on the Run?
In Hitman, the most recent Hitman game, there was a bad guy that was...
Okay, ex-nun turned barbed wire slash stripperella in her Rainbow Coalition crew of goons.
Well, this nun was even hotter than Lonnie Anderson.
The Jamaican guy, the fat guy, Jim Vardy with eyeliner for some reason.
The Jamaican guy, one, not Jamaican.
No.
And so it's just like, oh, let's just find a black guy, put one of those Jamaican hats you find at an amusement park...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Slap it on his head and say, hey, do your best Jamaican accent because you're black. And black, you know, it's just like, he was horrible. Jim Varney, it's sad that he was in this movie. Genuinely, it's a sad thing that he was in this movie. I enjoyed the Ernest movies when I was younger. I still enjoy Ernest Scared Stupid. It's my favorite one out of the entire bunch. Or the first one, Goes to Camp. I like both those movies a lot still. I thought he was great in the Beverly Hillbillies movie, but it's just sad that he was in this, and his character Lothar. Why was his name Lothar?
Lothar Zog. They gave him a last name in the
credits.
But
that name sounds so, like...
I know.
Evil, and his character wasn't really that evil.
I swear.
Where did he get a sword from? A katana. Where did he get that katana?
Because all the goons were ninjas, remember? They're fighting people dressed as ninjas with katanas at the end of the movie. He just got it from one of the ninjas.
I like how none of them were dressed as ninjas originally. Well, obviously, they're trying to be undercover, which lasted like 5 minutes.
Yeah, when they first reveal themselves to the kids, they're like, oh yeah, and like pull off a shirt or something, and they're still in like kind of regular clothes, and they just all go, ninjas!
But all the outfits they were wearing were crazy. Like, one guy was like, dressed like a farmer. One guy was dressed as, like, a mailman. One guy was dressed as, like, a hippie. This other guy's in a Hawaiian shirt. Like, what is this gang? And that's what I kept writing down in the beginning. I was like, where do they find this gang, these people? And, like, okay, they're all ninjas, apparently.
You know, for a WCW-produced movie, if somebody was the mailman, they should have had Carl Malone come in to save the day.
There you go. It would have made sense. I like how Jim Varney was billed as, like, or with Jim Varney as Lothar. Like, shit, Jim Varney's playing Lothar this time! Fuck, I gotta see this movie! Like, no, it was... Oh, God. Just so many things about it were just so bad. But one thing they kept doing, we talked about it, we mentioned in the very beginning, with the honor, respect, courage. They kept doing that so many times in the movie. It was driving me crazy. Where they're like, shredding it, kicking butt, let's eat. Like, they do that so many times where each one would say one thing. Even Hogan did it at one point, just with himself. What was the things he was saying?
Like, he's being held hostage in the control room by Lonnie Anderson and her goons, and they're trying to, I don't know if they were trying to keep the FBI out, or they're doing, or maybe they were trying to get the kids, and they watch their other goons get defeated, and he goes, "I'm telling you, you're wasting your time, spinning your wheels, swimming in circles, going nowhere fast."
Yeah, like, that was a lot of the movie, was like these little one-timey, like, puns and stuff. It was like, they said them so
many
times.
And then when Hogan tries to escape, she pulls out her whip and whips him back into place there, and then she gives him the exact same speech back at him.
Yeah.
And she, what does she say? "Maybe I'll show you mercy and make you my boy toy." And he goes, "I'd rather be eaten alive by wolves." And I was like, oh, Wolfpack foreshadowing. There's so much WCW foreshadowing in here.
Honestly, though, if I was Hulk Hogan and I was in that situation and I'm about to be murdered or something by this gang, I'd be like, what the hell? I'll bang you. Sure. Let's do it. Let's go for it. You might even be able to escape that way or something instead of putting up such a fight.
Let the Hulkster flick the little bean around.
What you gonna do, brother, when these 24-foot pythons flip the bean on you?
Hulkster's gonna drop the big third leg on that on those beef curtains. Drop the big leg and then drop the big load.
Oh, jeez. Oh, he's hulking up for sure.
No. He just starts stroking himself and hulking up.
Oh, I already came. Sorry. Sorry, Lonnie.
Oh, that's what steroids will do to you.
But, yeah. Oh, shit. I can't remember what I was going to say. One thing I also learned, I learned a couple things from this movie. One, you can be an awesome ninja by only going to training once a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing. And once you turn 15, you don't give a fuck about being a ninja anymore.
Yeah, that was so weird. Fucking Rocky goes for, I guess it's interesting that they're trying to, you know, acknowledge that the kids are aging, but the Rocky in this movie looks younger than the Rocky from the second movie, for sure. It was like, oh, great, oh, yeah. way to age regress them, especially if you're going to mention that they're aging.
They all look younger. But, I assume that they were all just the same.
That's so funny for these stupid kids movies where they want to act like whatever they're doing is the coolest thing ever. He's like, hey, I'm 15. Summers are starting to be important to me now, as if they weren't before.
Yeah.
In other words, like, I'm 15. I want to spend my summers banging chicks now, or at least fingering them a little.
Finger blasting them under the monuments, you know? That's why I went to the amusement park, finger banging around the Matterhorn. Okay, also, speaking of their grandpa, how is that their grandpa?
I know.
Their mom, no, doesn't look Asian whatsoever.
This is the whitest family you know.
Yeah.
And yet, oh yeah, we're Asian, we're Japanese, we're ninjas.
Yeah, I don't know how Victor Wong is their grandpa.
It'd be like Paul Mooney suggested on Chappelle's show, you know, do a movie called Last Nigger on Earth starring Tom Hanks.
This is seriously, exactly, like, it's just so ridiculous. Something else also very ridiculous in this movie was the promo that Dave Dragon, his character, did on his last episode of his TV show, which he mentions, well, the network is pulling the plug on me, and they also believe that the kids don't believe in heroes anymore. Like, why the fuck would anybody get away with that on the end of their last show, and why would the network even air that?
Yeah. Yep.
Like, what the fuck? Like,
I guess Dave Dragon does a show live, even though later in that day he's at the amusement park doing his road show thing.
Yeah. Did you catch
the poster in Colt's room where he's got, like, bikini chicks on the wall, but he's got yellow caution tape covering up their faces?
Yeah.
Like, I don't love you, bitch. you're just a vagina with tits to me.
Well, it's clear they couldn't show their faces for copyright issues.
Not really. It was just a generic poster. I don't know.
That'd be a thing. Could have been a Playboy.
Okay, maybe it could have, but I think Playboy would have had him nude and they were just bikinis.
You know what I want to see? I want to see the chick who played Amanda in Playboy.
Oh, God. No, you don't.
She was apparently on some Nickelodeon show for, like, years.
Oh, jeez.
It was called, I can't remember, but it was some Nickelodeon show. She was on from like 2000 to 2002. And so one I've never heard of. Yeah. I looked it up. I can't remember. She was your, you know, the typical 90s tomboy who's like, you know, and so cool, wants to hang with the boys type of deal. And she creates gadgets. She has a helicopter she's apparently had some sort of deal with. She has a bladed yo-yo. Why have the blade when you're not going to fucking use it?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
And a deck of cards that are basically throwing stars that you should be killing people with. But
because it can, you know, wrap around itself or something. That's why it's cool and we should, you know, use it or some shit like that. Like, you're just...
like, oh yeah, look at this. I just happen to have all this James Bond ninja gear on me. And, like, what was her excuse? Like, oh, my dad works in the movies, and so I have all this stuff. Like, what? Really? Okay.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the movie, when she's tied up, when Lonnie Anderson leaves behind a bomb to, like, blow up the amusement park to mask her escape with most of the money, she's just like, oh, here, I know how to defuse a bomb. My dad taught me while he was working on his last movie. How? How does your dad know how to defuse a real bomb?
And I want to know with her... she knows she's so good at hacking into these systems, probably, once again, because her dad works on movies. This computer system that everybody seems to be using, even the FBI, is this a universal computer system that was developed in this own little universe? It's like the internet.
Well, this is still back in the late 90s before people were as computer savvy as they are now. And granted, there's still lots of people that aren't, but back then, there were still plenty of people that were just like, well, computers, the internet, it's magic!
Yeah, it looks so stupid. It looks like something off of Arcade or something like that.
Definitely.
It was very, very
and I love when she goes to log in. At first it says, like, park mainframe, whatever, and, what does it say?
Well, she has her own software with her, too.
Password Buster. But at first she goes as, she types in, like, Mega Guest 1, and I thought, oh, that's the password? Then instead she runs through it, and you almost have to pause to see it, but it says, Password God, you know?
Yeah.
Access granted. Yes! Dang, I'm good!
Like, yeah.
Password is God.
Yeah, the password was God. I also wrote that down, too. Just, one thing I wish would have happened in this movie was that Dave Dragon, I wish he had actual powers.
Well, he almost did, because he's doing his show, and he walks out there, and then he, like, throws down a smoke ball, and he goes from, like, street clothes to his stupid show clothes.
No.
So he, like, morphs with a smoke bomb.
That wasn't him. If you noticed, it was a stunt, like, person.
Oh, really?
It was somebody that didn't even look anything like Hulk Hogan. I even paused it, and it was like, might as well have been Sting with the blonde hair.
That would have been great. Or WCW cross promotion, or even Jeff Jarrett.
Are you sure WCW produced this movie, or they just promoted the hell out of it?
They just promoted the hell out of it.
Because I feel like if they would have made it, like, for whatever, there should have been wrestlers in this movie.
Disco Inferno running the teacup ride.
Oh my god! Just have wrestlers as the goons. They would have done it for me.
Just like all the like, you know, C-string, like, NWO guys that nobody really cared about. Like
Kevin Nash as Luthor.
Vincent Van Hammer.
Kimberly as Barb Wire, whatever.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Yeah, that I would.
And Kimberly probably would have been able to act better than fucking Lonnie Anderson, who's basically just reading off cue cards here. Hi, I'm Lonnie Anderson, and despite being famous, I haven't acted a day in my life. So I'm going to sound like the wimpiest, unthreateningest villain you've ever seen in a movie, ever.
And this is also, speaking of the bad acting and how... and this, it's also one of the worst hostage situations ever. Like, I just don't understand it. They were taking hostages, but weren't. They weren't very good at it. The only time they were halfway good at it was when the roller coaster was upside down. It was just, and then, if you notice, it was just a still.
Well, the first ride, Amanda hacked and then turned back on. But
For a while, the image of the roller coaster down was clearly just a still image.
Oh, yeah.
Like, nobody moving,
and then
nothing going on.
Later, when Rocky and Lothar are fighting on top of it, I was just like, oh, what is this happening? Especially the fact that they're, like, punching and kicking, like, willy-nilly. Like, they're on top of this thing, and everybody's just acting like, oh, I can still keep my balance just fine. And even when Lothar is supposedly clearly knocked off balance, he's still like, oh, what? I'm just going to hang on for another 30 seconds.
I couldn't believe when they climbed up on top there and were fighting on the top. And they even grabbed each other at one point to, like, realize, oh, shit, what are we doing?
At that point, they should have both fallen off the way they were wobbling, but instead they, like, stabilize each other. But before, just before that happens, like, oh, wait, we're supposed to be fighting. Ha, pa, pa.
Yeah, maybe they really did put them up there with no harnesses, and they were, like, grabbed each other and were like, fuck.
Or maybe they just grabbed each other or getting ready to make out. Like Tum Tum almost did with one of the goons he knocks out earlier in the movie.
Straddles
him. That was
him.
So weird. He, like, he knocks him down, then he, like, straddles him and punches him in the face to, like, finish him off. And he goes, like, oh, yeah! But then, like, he grabs the sides of his face and he starts to cradle his head. And he leans in a little bit. I was like, oh, my God, is this kid gonna make out with this guy? Is this kid gonna rape this grown man? I hope so. Yeah, like, I hope he gives it with every thrust he gives it. Or he makes that sound when he skis, like, and he, like, jizzes, he shapes his jizz into, like, a Japanese kanji character on the guy's face.
He can shape his jizz? Is that good?
Well, like, he just works his way around and turns it into it as he's, you know, going, but, yeah.
Yeah, well, let's see. Well, you know what? I have something to tell you, Dan. You're talking about Tum Tum and his high-yah skills. I got a special surprise for you. James Paul Roach the second, come on out! Come on out!
Oh, sure, yeah.
Come on
out! See, I thought this was going to be real. I thought you were just going to play a clip of something. Like, no, there's no way you got this kid here. There's no way.
JP Roach the second, come on out!
I don't see you putting in the time and effort to work that, to make
hey,
that
JP!
Happen.
He comes around the corner. Hi-ya! Hi-ya!
Oh, my God.
Just jerking off. He was listening. He's like, "Gonna be a good idea."
At that point, I just have to hang my head in shame and take it until I could get home and kill myself. Because at the end of this, I literally wrote, "I hate everything."
He just comes on your face in a design, oh. Like you're explaining. Oh yeah, you want to see a design? Hiya, hiya. real quick,
I'm gonna do a 17 stroke kanji. That means 17 ropes.
The tickets to the amusement park kind of bothered me. I don't know why. It's just a dumb little gripe. But when she bought the tickets to get in, they were just like raffle tickets.
I missed it.
It was like a string of raffle tickets. You know, like where they have those two-sided and they pull the one side and keep the other. It was just like some stupid Chuck E. Cheese tickets. Like, come on, really? To get into the amusement park? This is where they're going to give you some bullshit? And she never even gives the kids the tickets. She keeps
them
and walks
maybe
away.
Maybe they were entered for a drawing to win a CD for 1,000 free hours of America Online.
Well, she kept them, so it doesn't fucking matter.
She wanted all the chances for herself.
And who lets their kids just go to an amusement park by themselves? Who cares if a 15-year-old's with them? That doesn't fucking matter.
I think that might be a thing that would happen.
A 15-year-old who clearly doesn't want to be with them and wants to go hang out with his friends.
Well, I would assume if he didn't take care of him, she'd hear about it and get his ass kicked, so she'd assume that he'd do the right thing and take care of him, but I don't know. I've known plenty of people where they'd like, oh, you're the oldest and you're driving now, so you have to take care of him, and they're like, I don't know,
thing when you can drive is, I guess, a little bit more, a different year, you're accepting more responsibility. Still don't know about taking really little kids. I guess taking little kids to an amusement park when you're old enough to drive and stuff is
considering the other
acceptable.
Brothers, you know, fairly old and mature too. It just didn't bother me that much. Like their younger brother should have been older by now too. Like Tum Tum still shouldn't be like 6. So
it's okay. He can be 12. You never know. He could just be a midget.
Yeah, or maybe he just doesn't show his age, like the kid that played Ricky in Sleepaway Camp.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Oh yeah, that was really weird. I forgot all about that. You know what? One thing I really loved in this movie was when they first get to the amusement park and the amazing theme park montage. With that song that was clearly written, they had somebody just write it off because they couldn't afford real music.
Oh yeah, the score was terrible.
It was like, good time! We're having a good time. It was just like,
what I really wanted was like the complete single that they wrote for Dave Dragon and the Star Force 5. That was wonderful. But the score for this movie was just terrible. I mean, I've been listening to film scores a little more recently, and I was just like, oh my god, they just got somebody out of nowhere and just, yeah, okay, here, try to imitate all the other shitty kids movies you've ever heard, and just,
A weird fact on the IMDb page, I don't know why this is a fact somebody would put, the only Three Ninjas film without narration from the boys at the beginning and end.
Well,
why does that fucking matter?
There are lots of really obsessive compulsive people that update these things, and I've seen it, and it's just like, oh god, really? Like, I remember somebody put notes for an episode of Stargate SG-1 where they're talking about some pattern coming out to the symbol for infinity. They're like, why would they call it the symbol for infinity? It has a name. It's Lemniscate. It's like if somebody called 9, like, the symbol for the number greater than 8. Like, what? Really? And some asshole, like, let this go up? Like, this is fucking retarded.
Oh, that does sound...
Whoever wrote that needs to have their head bashed in.
This is
fucking
very retarded. We were talking about Victor Wong before, too. He thought this was the best out of all the Three Ninjas movies because the boy's character developed deeper.
No, it didn't. Not at all. Not even close.
Clearly, he was on his deathbed when he said this.
I did read a note. I think it said the original Colt was supposed to have been in this movie, too, but then backed out and
Max
decided
Elliot
to go back
Slade.
To school.
Well, yeah, he was going to be in it.
Good for him, because I would not have wanted my name associated with this piece of shit.
He's done a whole lot of things in his life. Not really. The last movie he did was Apollo 13.
Well, good for him for going back to school instead of being a Hollywood kid and, you know, getting into drugs and overdosing and
But that's
dying.
What life
like,
is all about, Dan.
Like Corey Haim and Brad Renfro.
Respect,
and
honor,
Jonathan
courage,
and
pills. Pills! Pills!
Okay.
Life's about. Can't help it.
Especially now. Everybody's all about that Molly.
Oh, ho, ho. Gotta have that Molly in my tummy. I don't know what I'm talking
about. Obviously.
Anyways, the girl played Jennifer. She was on a show called Caitlin's Way on Nickelodeon from 2000 to 2002.
Oh, well, Jennifer was Rocky's girlfriend.
Yeah.
He was in it much less. I thought you were talking about Amanda.
I forgot. I just looked it up. Who fucking cares? Does it really fucking matter? No. No, it doesn't. You know why? Because I have better disguises in my closet with my regular clothes than these fucking guys had in this movie because all they did was put on sunglasses.
But, give me a minute here because one character that I legitimately enjoyed in this movie because he was just so awful, it was wonderful, was one of Rocky's two dipshit friends. He's just like the biggest D-bag. And not only is this kid a horrible actor, he's just, you know, has like the most exaggerated, like, aloof asshole personality when he sees his brothers come up, he's like, hey, nobody told us we were babysitting squirts. And later, they're trying to get on some ride, and he's like, I don't know if I want to go. What are you, chicken? And he only has a few lines throughout the movie, but they're all gold. And Rocky runs off to join his brothers, and they see the bullshit start happening. They get involved in that. He doesn't tell them where they're going, and Jennifer gets all depressed, like, oh, he ditched me, da-da-da. And he's like, probably wussed out and wet his pants and is too chicken to face us. We're wasting time. We should bail.
Why was Rocky even hanging out with these guys?
And then it comes around, though. It comes back around. Jennifer has this black girlfriend who decides to be a ball-busting bitch about it, and she goes, girlfriend, I've been there. They're all dogs. Like, oh, just forget about him. Dare-to-dare. And then
let's go to LeBeau down the street.
Douchebag Eric comes back in with, hey, no sweat. I'll be your new boyfriend. And then the goons come to kidnap Jennifer to tie her to the roller coaster tracks. He goes, hey, butthead, maybe I'm her boyfriend now. And then the fat guy turns around and just screams at him. And then he pisses his pants. And it was so piss poor the way they did it. They just show a pair of jeans with, like, looks like water pouring out of it. Like, oh, you couldn't even get a kid to really pee his pants for this. So then the other friend, who wasn't as much of a D-bag, he goes, bummer, man, you peed your pants. And that's the last we see of these guys.
Because why else do we need them? We didn't need them for anything
else.
They
were wonderful. But they should have their own movie. You know, like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
You know what I want to know is, Why even take over the theme park? For $10 million, but how did they know all of it?
Like, oh, I know, like, this is Marianne whatever.
It wasn't like this guy was Walt Disney or
she
somebody.
She just broke out of prison, and rumor has it she's looking for one big score to get out of the country. Like, yeah, why would you do that? Why would you, if you wanted money from this guy, why wouldn't you just kidnap a family member of his, since she's apparently wanted for kidnapping in the past and, you know, must be at least a little good at it. Kidnap a family member of his, like they do in Mexico, and ransom that person, you'll get your money. Way easier than having to have this whole gigantic team with you. And if she needed money so bad, how did they all have money to have jet skis, which turn into little hand glider things, and they all scuba dive their way in, break in with, like, welding torches and shit?
By the way, they're also the fastest swimmers ever. Because when that bomb explodes at the end, they're miles away from that boat already, and they just jumped off.
No, I like to think all the other guys were killed, and Lonnie Anderson was the only one lucky enough to survive, because this movie needed a body count. Well, it needed it so bad.
Alright, well, it's a kid's movie, so they're not going to be murdered. It had It had a body count. All the employees that were murdered. Forgot about them. Innocent lives taken. You don't even care, Dan.
No, I don't, because those people were all D-bags.
You don't even know
that. When somebody comes up behind them and grabs them, they don't even try to fight. They just look like, what's going on here?
What would you do, Dan? What would you do?
I'd punch them in the fucking face and come in their mouths.
No, you do the same thing. Puss out.
I wouldn't puss out and pee my pants. I'd come in their mouths, shit in their faces, and fucking spell out Japanese kanji.
And you'd puss in their pants.
Okay, sure. Whatever that means.
You figure it out.
I just want to say puss for some reason.
You figure it out.
At least I'm not all lispy like Colt and Tum Tum.
Oh my god, they're
two of the lispiest kids ever.
What if they had a lisp in their hi-yah? Hi-yah! 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 Well,
I really hate the little kids they put in movies that sound like fucking squeaky toys, and they just try to find like the worst, most exaggerated version of that. And like, see, isn't he cute? He sounds like an animal. He sounds like a cartoon character. Well, yeah. But then if you're gonna give him that stupid little lisp on top of that, I guess at that age I can understand because they're still kind of learning how to talk, I guess, in a way. But, like, fucking Colt, you can't tell me they couldn't have gotten that kid, like, a speech therapist or something. Like, hey, okay, don't stick your tongue between your teeth when you're doing S's, okay? You put it up towards the roof of your mouth there, and then you say an S and not a th. And, like, some of his lines are just so terrible. He's just like, fuck, I got him written down here, but I wrote down so much I can't quite find him.
The thing about the little kids, like, you're talking about their voices and stuff, half their shit was ADR'd anyway, so it doesn't fucking... They could have
changed the bad guys, too, and, like, some of the voices they had for, like, the bad guy ADR. Well, I swear they were cartoon voice actors or anime or Power Rangers or something. I just can't place them, but those voices are very familiar.
One thing I really wanted to get to before, and I forgot all about it, was when I was talking about the people at the park and the corral fight scene. When they're fighting all the ninjas at the corral... The one guy at the park is like, oh, this is the same old shit we see every year. Why are we coming back? We're going to Disney next time. But then the fight scene starts happening in the corral in the middle of the show. And these people watching this lose their fucking minds and act like this is like the greatest thing they've ever seen in their entire life.
Oh my god, kids beating up adults. Let me show you my boobs.
Seriously, like it was just so ridiculous.
And then like, I love how like the stunt guys like act like they're real, you know, like marshals and shit and like lasso them like, well, let's take them off to jail now. How? And even if they did do that, the park's under their control. Why didn't they come in and kill these guys and let their fucking comrades free again?
And how did the girl get all of that shit into the park? Like, how was she able to just bring all of her gear?
Computer shit? Yeah. And, oh, yeah. Oh, especially all my deadly ninja gear, my throwing star playing cards, yeah, my bladed yo-yo.
I feel like even in 1997 or 98 or whatever, that wouldn't have been allowed
in the park.
No way. Like, just so ridiculous. It's just, And you know what? As a kid, if I saw this, it's 99, I don't know, I was in, like, 7th grade, 8th grade at the time, so I don't know if I would have liked, but if I was a kid watching this movie, I think I would have loved this movie, just because it's kids fighting and fighting ninjas, and it's cool, but as an adult, it's just 90 minutes of bad kid fighting. It's really all it was.
Really, really, it's just,
When the one girl, Amanda, she put She once stops the one ride from going or whatever the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Why did she even bother putting the out of service sign up? Like, why?
Because so many people are so clueless to the fact that they're being held hostage.
Exactly. Yeah.
They'll just be like, hey, why can't we get on this ride? And douchebag Eric will probably be like, hey, what's up? Somebody on their lunch break or something? They must be paying you guys by the hour.
Yeah, Dad didn't say we couldn't defend ourselves. This movie was just all sorts of bad. In every
you know
the way,
product placement? Or they just had to have Amanda drinking a Diet Coke while they were watching the stunt show.
Oh, yeah.
And the TVs had Sony on them.
Oh, you wanna...
And they made sure to mention Tombstone Pizzas when they were doing like the fake hanging for the thing. I love that there was going to be a mock hanging in a kid's movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It was nuts. I was like, are you fucking serious? This is ridiculous. You know what else, too? You were talking about wrestling references. When they punch Hulk Hogan the one time, he goes, I'm going to punch you with a closed fist. Like, to me, that was just a wrestling reference. Like, or he says, like, no closed fist or something like that. Like, it just, you know, in wrestling, you're not supposed to, no punch with a closed fist. Like, I don't know.
How else did you punch?
So.
Is this a punch? Is this a punch? I wouldn't call that a punch. That's more of a... I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just spread my fingers and throw my hand at somebody, and somehow that's a punch, but it's okay. Ah. But anyway, when Hogan's trying to fight the ninja goons towards the end of the movie with the kids, and then Lonnie Anderson sneaks up and stun guns him, well, his stupid line was, one ninja stew coming up. I don't know how that made sense. She shocks him. He falls down. She goes, no stew for you. But then I was like, stun gun, foreshadowing Starcade later that year when Goldberg gets taken out in the streak broken with a stun gun from Scott Hall.
When he escapes, when Hogan realizes, oh, might as well do this, my show's ending, which doesn't make sense, why you should go risk your life,
mm-hmm.
he like rides down the thing with the nunchucks and everything.
Well, first of all,
that was ridiculous.
They're surrounded by goons on the roller coaster framework thing. They all have guns aimed at them. So he starts climbing up the thing, and somehow nobody notices that he's stepping out of line and is climbing up this thing until he not only takes out the first bad guy, but grabs his nunchucks and does his stupid little slide, you know, ziplining thing. Then they all start shooting at him all over the place when all these people should be taking, you know, hits in the crossfire here. Again, not a single person gets hit. Ugh. It just made me so angry.
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous. You know what else was also very ridiculous? When they're fighting in the underground, whatever, up beneath the theme park, and all of a sudden, this was never mentioned before. This just is just a new little plot point for whatever reason. Tum Tum pulls out this amulet. Grandpa gave me this.
Oh, it was a watch that he gave him when
I must have missed that when he gave him.
When he was saying goodbye to them at their house, he gave him that watch when he was like, "Oh, the other two don't want to be ninjas anymore. I'm so sad. I still need you, Grandpa." And he's like, "Well, here, take this," and like whatever.
And did you love when they were fighting down there? And they were one. The one fight scene was in night vision. Callback to Rollerball here. You know, and they're fighting in night vision, and then when they realize how they can fight with their eyes closed and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That fight scene is in slow motion, and it is so long.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It was like, you thought the other ones were long? This one's even longer because it's in slow motion, and it's like, oh, my God.
It was just like, why did they need to close their eyes? Because Lonnie Anderson, after they take out all her ninja goons somehow.
And they're taking their sweet-ass time with the bomb.
Oh, wait. This is even before the bomb. After they take out all her ninja goons, she says to them,
rest in pieces.
No, hang on. Fuck, I wrote down so much here again, it's hard to make it all out. But she goes, I see your training is superior to my warriors. I was like banging my head on the table. Fuck my life!
Yeah, that was pretty
ridiculous.
But then, she also has
a machine gun, right? So she has a clear shot of them, rather than gunning down these kids, which probably should have been done a long time ago. She shoots out all the lights instead, like, oh, my goons will get back up and get you now.
Yeah, so ridiculous.
But why did they need to close their eyes when the light was already gone anyway?
Does it help them focus?
Oh.
I don't know. But when they... Okay, there's this bomb, and they're taking their sweet-ass fucking time with this bomb, and it's like the longest, like, 3 minutes that's ever existed in all of movies. And So they have the bomb, and they strap it to these, tanks.
The scuba diving tanks.
Scuba tanks, oxygen tanks. And they strap it to that. Hogan helps them. Saying this. He helps them. He hits the bomb, the tanks with the hammer, and this thing goes flying, like, halfway out to the ocean.
Uh-huh.
Like, it goes so fuck. The boat, how they're already on this boat that quickly, yeah. I have no fucking idea.
Even if they had, like, the best motorboat in the world, not only are we at the boat, we're on ready to take off again.
Fastest swimmers ever. They're on this, and by the way, the boat that they have to get away on is like a battleship.
No, like, it looked like a really old, crappy...
To me, it looked kind of like almost like a battleship. It was very... I don't know. It was just
no, huge. There were no guns on it. It was just like an old, crappy boat.
But still, it was way too big for them to need. They didn't need a boat that big to get away on.
Unless they stole it from somebody else. I guess I couldn't see that.
But this bomb goes flying miles out into the ocean to hit this boat. And
within the last, like, you know, 20 to... Or, probably only, like, 20 seconds or something... And they're like, one instant torpedo coming up. And of course, it just happens to be right in line with the boat. And they see it coming. And even though they see it coming, how would they know the bomb was on there? But she just sees it and goes, oh no, jump! So they all jump overboard. And this bomb hits it. And then the boat blows up as if it were, you know, just like you'd implode an old building. Just like, exploding all the fucking back. Even though it was not a battleship, it didn't have any kind of...
And then they, you know, they save the day, and, you know, they're being asked by reporters, and then you see poor Dave Dragon back there with his head down, looking all sad, and they're like, no, he was the real hero.
No, I love their stupid reporter, who they actually make a point to name earlier in the movie, Susan Blankenship here for Eyewitness News. She's interviewing the kids, and she says...
Kenny Blankenship, that's what it reminded me of.
So, she says... Wait. Okay, so are you the boys who single-handedly saved the park? Well, if there are three of them, they didn't do it single-handedly.
Well, she also has a very good line when she's talking to Dave Dragon when they go over there.
Hold on. They go, actually, if you want the real hero, and then Colt lisps, Keith over there. But, like, I love he's such a has-been. Like, these kids that stole the spotlight and everything, like, actually... Let him have some. He's about to kill himself over there.
He did look like he was about to kill himself. He looked really sad. I was like, oh, poor Dave Dragon. But the reporter goes over there and goes, off the record, I think you're awesome or something.
I think you're hot.
Yeah, like, but like, off the record? No, it's not off the record.
Yeah,
the
camera's I know, I put the off the record, but on camera.
Yeah, that's exactly what I put too.
And then even though they only just mentioned, supposedly, and it seems like they only just found out that he helped them, you know, save the park, she goes, well, I just heard the network found out what you did, and they reconsidering, and they want to sign you to a long-term contract. Like, ugh!
He should have been like, fuck the network.
Oh, yeah, that would have been great. And pull, like, an M&M or something like that, yeah. And have, like, an army of Dave Dragon clones just, like, come in there and tear the hell out of the place. Yeah.
And then they want Amanda to be part of their group now. And
oh, that was terrible.
And so, basically, four ninjas, they're trying to set up this...
Three ninjas, five. Four ninjas.
Yeah.
So I wrote down, fuck, Amanda's going to be their Venus de Milo now.
Or could have just been called Three Ninjas, Rise of the New Ninja or something. I don't know.
Don't even do that. Don't ruin a wonderful title like
no.
Three Ninjas, Five, Four Ninjas.
I love Three Ninjas, Five, Four Ninjas. I love the title. How about
when they were dropping the money bags into the park, they dropped the last one, and Amanda flies her stupid helicopter by, which just happens to cut open this, like, giant, thick leather bag.
Yeah,
and, money, like, for everyone! They made it rain, but then they were too cheap to even drop, like, even fake money on people, so they had, like, CG money rain coming down. Gotta CG that fake Skrilla. Just,
oh god!
I wish we had a budget for this because I want to know how much money they lost on it because this movie only took in $375,000. Like they couldn't even crack half a mil. I love it.
Yeah, I don't see opening weekend $150,000, $308,000 gross. I don't see any sort of budget, unfortunately.
But a couple other things in terms of body count. I like when Rocky was fighting the ninja goons before the lights went out on a stairwell, and he's on the other side of it, and he grabs one and throws him over the thing, and they didn't show what happened to him. I was like, please tell me this guy died.
Remember how I thought this movie was released direct-to-video?
Mm-hmm.
It might as well been, because It basically was. I'm going to say it was because it was only released in 120 screens. So this was a direct-to-video. When you're only on 120 screens, nobody's
This should have been direct-to-video in the first place, and it said Hogan was filming this in the fall of 96 and was in the middle of doing it when they had Halloween Havoc 96, and they held it back till the summer of 98 to finally put it out. So they knew this was a piece of shit. I just don't know why they... Because I know direct-to-video wasn't as big a thing back then, but they were still doing it with some things. Like, they'd already started up some of those direct-to-video Disney sequels and shit. Like, why didn't they just do that? Why force it onto theater screens? Even if you could promote it on WCW, do that, but just promote the video release. Instead, like, nope, we're going to waste money forcing this into theaters, even if it's only 120 of them.
All right. Before we end this...
Oh, no, there's one more. There's sodomy to talk about.
Oh, there! I know. I'm going to get to the sodomy in a minute. But there's a couple of reviews I'd like to read from this movie. One off of IMDb. One says, Tum-tum. And it says, you might think this movie sucks, but you're dead wrong. This is the funniest piece of shit I've ever seen in my life. And then the person goes on to say, seriously, I was laughing tears the whole movie. Then I tried to kill myself. Why did they take such a weird turn with that review? But another one says, epic. Every once in a while, a film comes along that makes you glad to be alive. Cinema is a beautiful art form, and no cinema is more glorious than Three Ninjas, High Noon, and Mega Mountain. Epic on a grand scale. The cinematic majesty on a display...
With a G?
Yes. But I figured out what they're trying to say. On display would make Kurosawa's corpse reanimate just so it could kill itself in shame and never meeting the grander vision presented here. I saw this movie and broke down in tears as I knew my eyes had witnessed the most beautiful sight since Stallone and Carl Weathers flirting with each other on the beach in one of the Rocky films. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll curse yourself for thinking that the greatness of the previous Three Ninjas films could ever be topped. Bravo, sirs. Bravo. Obviously, not a real review, but I loved it just as much. I like to think that that's a real review of this movie. I mean, there's tons of reviews where people really love this movie. Like, hasn't anyone ever dreamed of being a ninja as a child? I watched this movie years ago and would have told you then that the Three Ninja movies were absolutely the best movies ever made. Looking at this movie from an adult's perspective defeats the purpose of this being a children's movie. From a children's perspective, this movie is one of the best martial arts movies ever made. Think back to when you were a kid. Wouldn't you love to see a movie where kids at your age can take on fully grown men and win?
What's the matter? Afraid of someone half your thigh?
This movie was a favorite of mine growing up, and I would sit down and watch all three Ninja movies because they were so epic as a child.
There were four, though. He sounds like he's a super fan, and he's not if he's only saying there were three.
No, he meant three Ninja movies. He didn't say three movies.
Oh.
Would watch all the three Ninjas movies. Not all three movies.
All three Ninjas movies. Okay. Office of Redundancy Office.
What were you going to say about sodomy then before we...
Also, while they're fighting the ninjas, and I think, again, this is before the lights go out, Rocky's fighting one of them, and he kicks one of them backwards, and he lands on top of this giant metal screw sticking up out of the ground, and he lands on it on his ass, so this poor goon ends up getting rammed up the butt because of Rocky, and they play it for comedy. Like, oh, somebody's going to be having some loose stools for a while. What if more happened off camera? What if he got up off the thing and he had the pink sock going on?
Oh, God.
What if this poor guy's balls punctured and he lost it? They didn't get medical help there in time, so he's got to have a colostomy bag attached to him for the rest of his life. Could his dick have
been that big, though?
It was a screw he landed on, not a dick.
Oh.
Like, you really thought he landed on the kid's dick? Really, Corey? Oh, my God.
Or maybe the kid just fucked him.
Maybe he raped him, like Richard Beck was forced to rape the goons.
Well, you know what? Don't talk about that, because fuck you thrice. Too bad Surf Ninjas isn't available for streaming, because I'd love to do that as a...
Oh, God.
I mean, I have it, so we could watch it, but yeah, Surf Ninjas... you know, I always like Surf Ninjas way more than I like the Three Ninjas movies. I probably watched Surf Ninjas a billion times when I was younger. One, it had Kino from TMNT 2, and it had Rob Schneider... A big fan of SNL when I was younger.
And Leslie Nielsen.
I love the Naked Gun movies, and it had Tone Loc. I mean, how could you go wrong with Surf Ninjas? It's Rob Schneider had red hair in it for some reason. I don't know why. And there was a Sega Game Gear in it. And I love that because I had a Sega Game Gear and I didn't. Everybody else had Game Boys.
Oh, hey, Corey, you couldn't hit an elf in the butt with a bazooka.
Well, you know what? You know what? I hit Rocky in the butt.
When Tum Tum had the one kid, or the one goon, the nephew goon, and he was, like, throwing darts at him, and then he's all like, oh, like, you stuck my clothes to the dartboard, and he goes to throw one, like, purposely at his face, like, is he gonna try to kill this guy now? And they ADR in, like, no, not in the face, and then he, like, catches it in his lips or something, and I was like, oh, God. But then the, oh, not in the face, that was like, story of my life, pal.
Before
story of my life.
Before we end this episode, I have a review to read. I've waited over 4 years to see this movie. This was written in 2002. And people have to stop trashing this series. Having taken karate myself as a kid and working in an amusement park, this movie is far from stupid. If you're a fan of the series, you'll love this one. Only negative point I can see is that they didn't use the original actors except for Grandpa Mori. However, in this case, it doesn't hurt the movie. The kids were far better at karate, and the action was great. Peace out.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you worked at an amusement park and you know karate, this is the movie for you. Because you will love every minute from it. You will not think it's stupid. You'll think it is a piece of...
Oh, what about what Jim Varney tells Rocky when they're climbing up the coaster? He's right up, he's like right on his ass. He goes, you smell that, kid? That's fear. What's coming up behind you? that's gonna be one of the best about to rape lines ever.
I also liked when Jim Varney falls off the roller coaster and he should have died.
Oh, yeah.
Falling that high.
I just happened to fall into a truck.
He bounces off a tent, then into a truck, and he literally says, I'm alive. Exactly what everybody else is thinking watching this. How are you alive? Because you should have died.
Or maybe it was just foreshadowing, like he said, I'm alive, and then that just sicked the bad luck demons on him, and then he died.
Him and Victor Wong, so sad. So unbelievably sad. But you know what else is sad? We've come to the end of this episode of B-Movie Breakdown, episode 45. Some insanity that was... Three Ninjas, High Noon at Mega Mountain.
Well, the good news is, it's got a widescreen release.
Oh, yeah. Real wide.
Still waiting on the Blu-ray. I'm sure that'll be coming any day
now.
Oh,
yeah, I'm sure.
We're going to pick this up along with my Blu-ray copy of Kaboom.
But a Blu-ray, a movie that is on Blu-ray, is the movie next week. And it's available on Netflix, so you don't have to search for it like this week. Is a movie that I came across. Apparently, it's like a big deal. Like, it's all as far as B movies go, it's a big deal. I've never seen this, and I don't know how. It's billed as a comedy, horror, sci-fi, martial arts movie, and it says it's Evil Dead meets Brain Dead meets The Matrix times 10 turned up to 11. The movie I speak of is Ricky O, The Story of Ricky.
I believe it's Ricky O, The Story of Ricky.
Ricky O,
Japanese.
I don't fucking care.
Oh, of course you don't. I'm Corey, and I don't care about other people's cultures.
I don't.
Languages, pronunciations.
I don't. I only care about being a ninja.
Oh, so you're an ICP fan, huh?
Yep.
Ninjas. Too bad we didn't make it to the Gathering of the Juggalos where somebody died of a heroin overdose.
Well, that's what happens.
In somebody's tent this weekend after spending a lot of time at the drug bridge.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what happens when you go to the drug bridge.
Buy all the illegal drugs you want. And... apparently, people were told by security at the gate, you can take shrooms and take acid as long as you don't have any glass on you.
Oh, jeez. But, yeah, next week's movie, Ricky O, The Story of Ricky.
Bobby.
Ricky Bobby, yeah, The Story of Ricky Bobby. This movie looks absolutely insane. It even says, warning, contains scenes of explicit gore.
Oh, I hope it's like Fist of the North Star, where a guy just, like, punches a guy, like, 100 times in the span of about 2 seconds, and then, like, he explodes.
Yeah, it seems to be along the same lines. I've seen Fist of the North Star, the live-action movie, and it's pretty ridiculous. So, looking forward to Ricky O, The Story of Ricky, from 1991. It is available on Netflix, so check that shit out. It looks to be absolutely insane. I watched this trailer last week, and I've seen some pictures, and I... wait to watch this movie. I haven't been excited about a movie watching here in a while.
I don't think this. The trailer was that exciting, but yeah, I mean, if you're into it.
The trailer made me excited, but not just the trailer. I looked up some pictures.
Oh, right,
and
okay.
Some images got me really excited for what is going to happen in this movie.
I bet it was a kid getting raped in the
house. And we haven't really done any kung fu movies, so this is, you know, kung fu martial arts movie. We haven't really touched upon that subject. I wouldn't count this week's movie as a martial arts movie whatsoever. So, go check out Three Ninjas High Noon and Mega Mountain if you haven't seen it to complete your Three Ninjas quadrilogy there.
Yes.
You need to.
It should have its own quadrilogy box set, just like the Alien series.
Yeah, it can be like 20 discs big.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. You got the theatrical cut, director's cut.
One disc will just be every time they say, hiya.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a wonderful bonus feature.
Hiya!
Hiya! Hiya! Hiya!
Hiya! And at the end, hiya! JP, whatever his name was, coming everywhere. Hiya!
Do one of those 10-hour loops like they do on YouTube of just stupid tum-tum kid.
Hiya! 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 Damn it, Dan. You know what's going to happen now. We said it. It's going to happen.
Oh, that's all right. Nobody's going to make me watch it.
Oh, you don't think so. Next week when I tie you up down here and pry your eyes open, if you watch that for 10 hours, you'll see. You'll see.
That's okay. I'll just project and go to my happy place of 6 from Battlestar Galactica.
All right. You know what? Okay.
Just leave your body here. Me.
No spoilers. No spoilers. Anyways, this is B-Movie Breakdown, episode 45. You can find us on iTunes, bmbpodcast.com, all that other stuff, Stitcher, tweet us. Bleed us.
Bleed us?
Yeah, bleed us.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, bleeding. Like, cut us open.
Bleed I know that, but I thought that was going to be another one of these stupid things. Yeah, go on Bleeder. It's our new site. Everybody's on Bleeder now.
Oh, yeah, it's an emo.
Yeah, bleed us.
It's the emo version of Twitter.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Bleeder. So, yeah, next week, Ricky O, the story of Ricky. For B-Movie Breakdown, I'm Corey.
I'm DRC. And...
It's the best of the worst.